your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins.
Well, good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm good here on this Kentucky Derby Day.
It's today.
Yes. Everyone else is watching the Kentucky Derby, and I rarely miss it, I will be at Scissortail Park watching grandchildren dance. I don't know who thought that was a good idea on Kentucky Derby Day.
Is this a dance competition, or is it a festival, or what? Kind of dance thing is it?
I don't know. I think
you're just going to watch grandkids.
I think it's recital or something, because there's no other dancers other than Velocity Dance, which, it, by the way, I'll give them a little plug here. Velocity Dance, they teach the whole dancer. They don't just teach dancing. They kind of care about the character, so it's a great place.
Well, I did some dancing last week. My daughter got married. And I need dance lessons, is what I have figured out from that.
Wrong order. You take
you're supposed to dance first before
your daughter gets married.
Yeah. Well, this is the first of five kids to get
there
married.
You go.
So
I've got
time.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Practice on the dance one.
There it is.
The first one and throw it away, right? So, okay. Well, we are here this morning with Ron Shalott, and I promised you guys that I would bring my attorney and you could ask him questions. So promoted it all week, and I actually had someone call yesterday, actually two people, that called asking questions about the topic today. And so I asked them to call in. I hope they do. And we're talking about squatters' rights. That's been on the news a lot in different
states. It's made a
lot
of headlines. And if you're listening and want to join the conversation today, the number to call in is 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000.
Well, and it's really called, instead of squatters' rights, well, I guess that's a legal term. It is adverse possession. Is that right, Ron Shalott?
Well, it depends upon where you're at.
Well, we're in Oklahoma.
We're in Oklahoma.
Okay. Tough morning, Ron.
Because it's been on the national news, and it's a lot easier to use a single word to describe it than use the more technical term that is a bit confusing. So squatter just seems like an easy term to throw out there that everybody should know what it means. So I know Mark always loves my pop quizzes.
Okay. Uh-oh.
And since he's had time to think about it, since you've announced that we were going to do this, Mark, what's a squatter?
Well, back when I was in middle school playing football, my coach told me this is how you're supposed to line up, is by doing the country squat, and then you you're ready in right football position. But I don't think that's what you're talking about.
Well, it's similar, but not exactly that same way. And so it's always interesting when we use terms to really think about what we're talking about and think about what it means, and then try to figure out what the whole situation is about and where did this come from. It's actually been around a while. And over the last 15 years we've been doing this, at least we've talked about this from a different perspective, about five or six times.
What we have.
Yeah.
But
and
now it seems to be kind of an epidemic.
Well, part of it has to do with the fact that you've had a lot of economic issues where investors couldn't find anything to put money into, so they put money into houses. This is not all of it, but I think this is what started to drive it. And when they put money into the houses, they're not putting money into them to live in them, but rather they see them as an investment and, oh, by the way, we can rent it out and get some income, or at least get the expenses paid back for the house, and then eventually we'll sell it at an appreciated value. And that's one of the things that I believe started to drive this train, because we've always had people owning a rental house somewhere. That's not new. So this is the only thing I think of that really has made the situation more paramount nationwide. And then, too, you've got the housing shortage. You have the situation then where the housing shortage leads to a shortage of rental units and then the escalation of rents. And you had businesses close. You know, despite what some are reporting, the economy is not all that good. And consequently, you've got people who are without places to live or without the ability to afford places to live where they work or the areas where they reside. You get to places like California, New York City, things like that. So I think that's where this started, at least insofar as what we're seeing today. And then we have, and this is not to get into the politics issue of it, but you do have the immigrant issue where you have a lot of people coming into the country, and consequently you've got people that need a place to live, a place to sleep, and you can't just have them all sleeping in park benches. We don't have enough of those.
So a squatter is?
Squatter is somebody who's essentially a trespasser without authority.
Okay.
Somebody who, and it could be a tenant who holds over beyond their lease and then is beyond the leasehold time, the term of the time, or it could be a person who was allowed to, come over and you can stay there for a couple weeks and then never leaves. Sounds like some relatives. But it could also be someone who just breaks into the place and then resides there.
Okay, well, we have a caller.
We have several callers on the line, so if you're on the line, just hang on. If you want to call in, the number to call in is 840-1000. We have Jenny on the line. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning, Jenny.
How are you?
Well, hello. Thank you for calling in.
Yes.
Jenny's a friend of mine, and I asked her to call in because she's a property manager and has had some experience with squatting in Oklahoma. So tell us a story, Jenny, without identifying where it is or the people involved.
Sure. Well, what we are actually seeing is that we're having to be extremely on guard when it comes to the vacant homes, because for multiple experiences, we have seen, unfortunately, homeless people breaking in, and then you're having to call the cops, and they're bringing garbage in with them, and you're having to do a haul, and it's costing the homeowners several hundreds of dollars to get all of the stuff out of the property, cleaned up. And unfortunately, sometimes they're not even getting arrested. The cops will run them off of the homes, and they just come right back in. So it is a vicious cycle, and the homeowners need to be aware of their vacant properties and be on guard of what's actually happening.
Okay. So what do you do to get them out?
Well, we call the police. The police will either arrest them, and you can file a police report, or they will run them off of the property. They do not arrest them all of the time. But you're trying to get them to stop. So I, unfortunately, ask them to take them to jail. So hopefully we can deter them at that point. But we've had homeowners have to go in and actually put the alarm systems and activate everything and do a monthly activated alarm system to keep them out of the property. Because I've had one homeowner, poor guy, has spent thousands of dollars trying to keep them out.
So if they leave their stuff in there and then they're physically not there, what can you just throw their stuff away?
Well, a lot of the things that the homeless people are bringing in, it's garbage. It's not like an appliance or clothes. But when the cops do arrest them at that point, it is a breaking and entering charge. So when they arrest them, we can clean up the property. But if somebody was living there and they brought in appliances, absolutely not. At that point in time, they have a right to their property, and you have to hold that property for 30 days if they want to come back and say, that's my property, and you got rid of it. Well, it's a very gray area. It's scary.
That's under the Oklahoma Landlord-Tenant Act.
Yep.
But they're not, they're not tenants.
No, they're not tenants. They're not tenants, and they're bringing in their garbage, and you just have to get it out. But that's where it comes into the line of the actual homeowner spending thousands of dollars just trying to keep the people out, and it does not stop. It continues.
Okay. Well, hang on just a second, Jenny. So,
Jenny points out a wonderful distinction, the distinction between somebody who had permission to be there and has now overstayed their permission versus somebody who never had permission to be there and enters without any authorization at all.
And that's right.
Right. And if you overstay your permission, as far as law enforcement's concerned, that's a civil matter, not a criminal matter. You let them in, well, you're stuck with it. But on the other hand, if they break in without any authority at all, then that can be a criminal matter. But your problem there, and this is also somebody who looks at homeless people with compassion, is that, all right, you get them arrested, that's not going to do anything. You take them to jail, all you're doing is you're giving them free meal and board we're all paying for.
Right.
That's it.
But what's the right answer?
A lot of times there is not a right answer, yeah. And because it's a problem that so long as we have this issue, and especially if it's a mental health issue or a substance abuse issue, it is very difficult. I've dealt with a lot of homeless people over the past 25 years with our church and other areas, and it's very difficult.
Well, and I know, well, Jenny, so you're a compassionate person, but you are working for the property owner.
You're working for the property owner, and then we've also seen, and this is a couple of homes in the last year that have been broken into as well, and people are just stealing the appliances. I mean, they don't have respect for the homeowner either. So it's such an unfortunate situation, but we definitely have a problem going on right now. Definitely.
Okay. Well, Jenny, if something nudges you to call back in, feel free to do that. We appreciate your call.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Thanks,
have
Jenny.
A good day.
Thanks, Jenny. And Linda, hang on to the line. When we come back from the break, we'll come right to you. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Our special guest is Ron Shalhott, attorney at law. And if you want to call in and join the conversation, the number to call in is 405-840-1000. We have Linda on the line. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Mark and Becky and Ron. My issue with my family is about the Oklahoma Turnpike Authority. Our home is scheduled to be taken by OTA for a new tollway connecting to the Kickapoo Turnpike. And we don't know anything about how eminent domain works. The last map that I saw was in February of 2024, and we were still on the projected plot for them to take our property. I don't know how to get the money back out of my house that I've invested in this property. We've got about 20 acres here. I don't know if I need an attorney to help me get the replacement value versus the fair market value. Or what I should do at this point. We still owe on this home at a rate of 2.75%. So if we have to buy another home, we could never get that same rate back. And I don't know if I'm going to need an attorney. I need advice on what to do at this point.
Okay. Thank you for all the details, because that really helps frame the subject matter. So we've been talking about squatters' rights and squatters' laws and how it affects here. But now we've kind of switched into eminent domain. And
right.
First of all, the thing that I think you might want to know is that I don't think they have to pay you replacement cost. I think they have to pay you fair market value. What is it? What do you think, Ron?
Yes, it's the fair price. And I'm not using the legal terms here. I'm just using generic terms. The fair price of the house, of the thing that they're taking. This is more of a Lee Matthews question, by the way. Call Monday through Friday. He really is into this.
Okay.
I know I hear him chat about this on KTOTK all the time. He loves this thing because it gets into a quasi-political issue, as well as, of course, the issue of, well, we do need more turnpikes and et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of stuff into it. But as far as you who are in the path of this, kind of like being in the path of a tornado, it really is a difficult situation. The government cannot take property without compensation. You know, just compensation, justice. But that's not always what you think it's worth. If you've got memories, things like that, they don't reimburse you for the loss of all that for for all the...
Well, it's not so much the memories I'm concerned about. You've already answered a question of mine. I didn't realize that they would not give me replacement value. I thought that they had to replace everything. For example, we have a pool, and I know pools don't give you much fair market value improvement. So if they're not giving me the replacement value, in other words, I have to, if we sell this place and have to move someplace else, I would like to be able to recreate it at least.
Well, right. When the government looks at it, they'll have appraisers that look at all those issues. Now, whether they give you what you consider is fair or right for that is a matter of perspective. And that's when you get into a situation where if you disagree with it, you come back with a counteroffer. And if it gets to a point to where there's no way to bridge the gap, then you can take it into a court, into a trial.
Can it be a jury trial?
It's a jury trial. Okay. And sometimes those can be beneficial and sometimes not. I've seen them go both ways. Recently, there was a case that seemed to put a higher value on it. I'm not going to say higher than it was worth, but it was a higher value than what was being proposed. But I've also seen it go the other way as well. And it is an attorney fee case if you prevail. So it is something that legal counsel would be of assistance on, but you need to get a very realistic approach as to what the value of it is. So you know what the perimeters are. And it's not it's as is today, not what they're going to do to it. I had a case once where it was a Bricktown law. And, of course, they were going to build on it, and it would eventually be a very valuable lot. But they weren't paying for what it will be, but they were just going to be paying for what it is, a piece of dirt. And, consequently, it wasn't as high of a value.
Yeah, so that I think that answers one of your questions. And when is this turnpike projected to be, Linda?
Unfortunately, it's within the next 15 years, which is part of my problem. If we chose to sell this place, there's not a bank that's going to give a loan to a prospective buyer.
Well, and that's you get into a question then of, will someone take a chance that the whatever it is, turnpike interchange, whatever, will not go there? I mean, sometimes they don't end up going where the maps show they're going to go, but not knowing this area, I hate to suggest one way or another.
There's a great big acreage they could go to right next door to you, where they could just buy one plot instead of several others.
And sometimes they do move it. If it's less expensive to go a little bit more one way than another way, sometimes they will do that. But I can't say they will in this particular instance.
Well, maybe this may be a question for Lee. And I do listen to him every day. We have 20 acres here, and as of February 24, they're still scheduled to take our place also.
All of it, or so, just part of it?
All of it.
Okay. I had an aunt and uncle that owned a piece of property where they put I-240, and they were left with just a little triangle of land across the interstate. And that was a very interesting thing because it wasn't usable at all because there was no road going to it or anything. But they did get paid for their entire land but got to keep, was about an acre of it where their house was. So it worked out okay for them.
Well, the schematics I have seen take my entire property in an intersection.
Right.
I would suggest.
Which I guess that's good news.
I would suggest that you be proactive and you do retain counsel to guide you.
And that's what I needed to know.
Yeah, that's mainly what it is, because you want to be ahead of the curve instead of being reactionary. especially if it looks like they're going to go through your area.
So if you, I mean, really, if you're wanting to move in the next 2 or 3 years, selling the property now would be a pretty good thing, I would think.
Would be, but what would you get for it? Who would buy it? That's what her point is.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's where you have to, if you knew what they were looking at in terms of value, then at least you can see, is this something where an individual could break even on a purchase?
Interesting okay. subjects.
Very interesting subject. Thanks, Linda, for calling in. And we are on a news break. We'll be right back after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins and our special guest, attorney at law, Ron Shalhot. And if you want to join the conversation today, the number to call in is 405-840-1000. It is time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Ron, what's our word of the day?
You know, I love that song. That is a, if you ever go check out that song, the entirety of the song, it's really neat. And then you get that little, you know, hook. Which you guys play every week, and it's always fun. I go, oh, yeah, I think about it. Yeah. So, well, actually, the word is actually a phrase, but it's a two-word phrase, eminent domain, because we've talked about it. What in the world is that? Where did they come up with that? Was that something that some journalist somewhere said, well, let's call it that. Let's see. So eminent domain is our word of the day. All right. Yeah, Mark, you want to take a stab at it?
Well, it is the government's right or an authority's right to take property that is for that they deem is for the greater good of the whole instead of the owner of the one.
He looked it up, didn't he? No, he knew that. He's a brilliant guy. Eminent domain comes from two words, obviously, eminent and domain. Eminent, you think of eminence, you know, the higher in office, the higher authority in terms of a class, it's someone who's in a higher class than you. You know, we look at, you know, churches with his eminence or, you know, that type of
higher
thing.
Class than us. That would be almost anybody, right?
So you have that word eminent from that. And then domain, you know, coming from of the Lord. So it's the owner of or control of the property within one's realm. Now, you have to think about this. Within the state of Oklahoma, not such a great state to talk about this on because we've got the tribal issue, but in the state of Oklahoma, the realm is the state government in a state has the rights of controlling the property within the state. Or you can even think of the United States of America. The federal government has a right to have control of the property, even though we might own it. And that's the big battle with the Native American tribes is, well, who owns that land and to what extent do they own it? So eminent domain is where the higher in office, the government, takes control over the property of another. Now, our federal and state constitutions state that you cannot have property taken without just compensation. Where do we get that from? Well, if you think of other governments in the past and other states, sometimes they would take the property with no compensation. Think of the old Soviet Union or even in the eastern areas that the government takes control. So we had this put into our laws that there's got to be just compensation. So that's where eminent domain comes from. The frustrating thing, and one of the issues that I had litigated years ago involving Bricktown, is that you would have a piece of property, you knew they were going to develop it and make it valuable. But the government was taking the property, paying you the value as is, but then they were going to sell it or give it to another developer to develop it and make a bunch of money off of it. So how fair was that? And I took a case up to the U.S. Supreme Court, but there was another case out of, I don't know, it was Connecticut or New Hampshire somewhere that the Supreme Court took and not our case. So the thought was is that the government can't just take your property to give it to another person. So I've got this property, the government can't take my property and then give it to Becky and let her profit off of it. And in fact, there's a new Oklahoma statute that was just signed into law. I believe it goes into effect November 1, where if the government gets the property under eminent domain, that they can't, and they no longer going to use it, they decide the turnpike doesn't go there, that they can't just put it up for sale in the open market. Now they have to offer it back to the person they purchased it from, to the original owner, if they want to buy it back. So that's a new change.
You know, back in the day, do you remember when they bought all the properties for I-44 along May Avenue? Very nice homes. On the west side, let me think, east side of May Avenue, and I've forgotten exactly the location, probably around Britton Road, or anyway, maybe Wilshire, probably was Wilshire, because there were very nice homes along May Avenue, great big lots, and the state of Oklahoma took those, and the people didn't have any choice. However, they never did use it for their intended purpose. It got moved. The highway got moved to the west. So that was kind of a sad thing to see all those nice homes sitting there abandoned and nobody could use them for anything.
And it does happen. And sometimes then the government L&D will sell it back or put it up for sale as surplus property they no longer need. But the people that owned it before did not have an absolute right to obtain it back. Now there's a law in effect, and I haven't read the law. I'm just going off the highlights of what I understand that was just adopted by our legislature and signed by the governor.
Okay, so yet another property law about to go into effect here in Oklahoma.
We have Judy on the line this morning. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
How are you today, Judy?
Just fine, and y'all?
We're doing well. Okay, Judy, great. You got a question or a comment?
I've got a question. You know, if say a person does have 10 acres, is the government allowed to buy all of it, or can they just buy a certain part? And, I mean, is there a limit in a situation like that? I mean, what if you're left with out of 10 acres, if they take 8 and you're left with 2, I mean, you know, is there a limit, I guess, on how much or how little they can buy?
Well, in eminent domain, they will look at what they need or what they think they need, I should put it that way, and compensate you for that. That could leave you with some of the property.
And so they're not required to take it all.
Have to take it all. But then you've got the remaining property.
That's like my aunt and uncle out there.
Yeah.
They took almost all of their acreage, and I think it was a 10-acre tract, but they were left with like a half acre on one side of the highway and another acre on the other side of the highway, little triangle pieces. But in their case, they got what they considered a just price for it. And they weren't really using the land. They weren't real happy about it, but they learned to live with it. So, yeah, I guess the answer to that is they can take what they need, whether it be all or part.
Well, sometimes it'll split like right in the middle of a lot, and you've got one side and the other.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Where you're left with, and you could try to sell those.
Yeah, the worst case scenario seems like.
Okay.
Now, okay.
You had a
thank you,
Judy. You had another question. Do you recall what your question was?
I was going to ask about And you may have already covered this, but if you challenge that, is it, can you be successful with at a challenge? Well, I know it would require a suit, probably a lawsuit.
Well, it's that's part of the process, part of the eminent domain process, is if there cannot be an agreement, then suit has to be brought to take the property. The government puts the money into the court. You have competing appraisals, go through all that process, and then you can have a jury trial to determine what is the fair value. The difficulty with a jury trial, assuming you win, and it's an attorney fee case, but if you win, then it can be, or you lose, that can be appealed. And if you win and the government's going to appeal it, they put the bond money into court and then appeal it, then you've got more time spent, more expenses out there. And sure. You may have an appellate court look at it and decide that a jury decided off of more sympathy than factual basis, or there may be some other error, and then you're back to square one.
Well, and Judy, there was a case that out in Hera where there was a big settlement, the Brewer case. Mark, do you recall what that was?
Yeah, so looking to, so this is from a KFOR article that it was originally the government said, hey, this land is worth $1.5 million. Family sued, said, no, it's worth much more, and it was just this last month, was the April 4th, it was declared that jury declared that it's worth about $3 million. So it was nearly double.
2.9. But also, how long did that take, Ron? How long did that take?
I think that was filed in 2018.
2018 is when it started.
So that's a six-year time. And if it's appealed, then you're talking a couple years down the road yet. So
very likely to be appealed, because
with that big, probably, unless the government sees that they really made a major mistake, which I tend to doubt. And then your appellate court system goes up to the Oklahoma Supreme Court as your first level of appeal. The Oklahoma Supreme Court can defer it down to the Oklahoma Court of Civil Appeals, which then rule, but then you can seek the Oklahoma Supreme Court to review that. So that's years down the road before that finally gets resolved, and it's a tough thing to go through.
And then if you don't win, you've got major attorney fees.
You've got major issues because of the fact that you've had this pile of cash that's going to be a lot less now.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus expenses, because the appraisers are not inexpensive on that kind of a situation.
Well, and they usually get two appraisals, and if they're within a certain percentage of each other, they'll take an average. And then if it's if they're too far apart, the first two appraisals, they'll have a third appraisal. And typically they use the two that are closest together and average those. So that's kind of a standard. I don't know what the law is on that, but That's kind of the way it works. So that's a great question, Judy. Good follow-up question. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
All right. We'll be right back with your Smoking Hot Deal right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our Smoking Hot Deal. Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the southwest corner of 122nd and Penn, on 63rd just west of Meridian, at 505 East Main Street in Yukon, and on May Avenue just north of Hefner Road.
I did not go to Casa Perico all week because I went three times the week before.
You hit your quota the week before that.
I'm not sure if I really have a quota. It's a mental quota for me, because the taste quota is always there. It is a delicious place to eat. Okay, our Smoking Hot Deal is in Lawson Farms. And Lawson Farms is basically Hefner Road, just west of Council, I think.
It's just on the corner. It's just on the south corner. And back when I went to Putnam City High School, the Lawsons, the grandson, I used to take home there. Yeah. We played ball growing up, all sorts of different sports together. And so I remember when it was a true farm.
Yeah, there you go. When it was a Lawson farm.
It was.
So it's west of Council Road, just off Hefner. And this one happens to be on Haskell Lane. And Marcus, is this going to be held open tomorrow?
It is not. No. Okay. There's not an open house there. But
I still want to tell you about it.
Yes.
Because this is built just about, 5 years ago or so? Mm-hmm. Something like that. 2016. I just saw it. And it's over 2,000 square feet. And it is a very attractive home from the exterior. It looks wonderful. So if you want to check this out, it's $282,000. So that's pretty good for a 3-bed, 2-bath, about 2,050 square feet.
Yeah, really. Yeah, nice square footage for the price. And if you want to see it, you can go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on search listings. You can take a virtual tour right there through it, and you can also click and we'll show it to you.
Yeah, there you go.
At any time.
We'll be glad to show it to you. So anyway, that's our Smoking Hot Deal brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill. Now we're going to go back to our original subject, which is squatters in Oklahoma. What's the law and what are we going to do about that?
Well, the correlation between eminent domain and squatter is kind of interesting when you think about it, because it is somebody taking over your property and having some type of either actual or feigned dominion over your property. So there's a similarity there, but the difference, of course, is that through government laws and regulations, there is a capability of taking that, whereas the other, where it is an unauthorized, requires a lot of hoops to jump through before you could get some type of possessory or ownership interest. Now, again, we're not talking about somebody who's held over as a tenant, because that's a whole different thing. If you allowed somebody to come into your house, then that's a civil matter for you to get out. There's a Landlord-Tenant Act. There's notices to quit, things of that nature. That's a whole rental situation, a civil situation to evict someone.
And, Ron, our Landlord-Tenant Act in Oklahoma, compared to other states, is very fair to the landlord and to the tenant. That's my assessment of that.
Depends upon who you are and what side of the fence you are.
Well, I mean,
sometimes it's not.
So many of them kind of lean toward the tenant and giving the benefit of the doubt to the tenant, whereas the person actually paying the bills on the property kind of gets left out and not a lot to do. So our Landlord-Tenant Act, I think, has a fair balance there.
Well, there is also some situations in certain cities that shorten the time for a claim, and one's 30 days. So you do end up with a whole different situation than you do here in Oklahoma. But in Oklahoma, we've talked about before, your idea of adverse possession, which is where someone occupying then can claim some type of ownership interest, has to be open, visible, continuous, exclusive, with a claim of ownership 15 years is adverse possession, and you have to substantiate that. You have to prove that. So it's got to be continuous.
And the reason for that, I guess, is so that like out-of-state owners or people do at least check their land, because you could have meth manufacturing on land.
Well, you go back to Oklahoma, the Wild West kind of idea of staking your claim, et cetera. So it kind of goes back to that idea as well. However, if you are trespassing, then that's a criminal matter, then you can be removed. If you are an owner of a property, of course, things you need to do, you need to monitor your premises. If it's vacant, for example, if you have a vacant house, of course, if you have a management company, they should be doing this anyway. Move some furniture in there. Look like you live there. because that can dissuade people from going there. And I said, you know, monitor, secure the property. And the lady who called at the beginning talked about the alarms and cameras. Cameras are cheap these days. Yeah. So it's very easy to secure property and monitor a property. Know your neighbors. Ask your neighbors of the property to help watch out and give them your phone number, how to get in contact with you. There's something that looks like there's a miss or going on there. So there are ways to do that. And if you do have somebody in there, throw out a trespassing complaint. You do need to make records of it, but there can be destruction of property. That's where we get back to my famous line to you, Becky, have adequate insurance.
I know. I have people call and ask me all the time, how do you handle this? How do you handle this? That my attorney's famous words are have good insurance.
Have good insurance or have the financial capability to offset those losses.
All right. We got about a minute and a half left. And you had a question, Ann? Good morning.
I do. What is this new law called, and when will it take effect? Where can I find out more about it?
Actually, it was in this morning's newspaper. There was a write-up on it.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
So look at the morning Oklahoma newspaper.
Get a paper. Where else could I find it?
Well, you can find it online. A lot of times the online news services will pick it up. And that's why I think I picked it up. At. I was just getting general news on the internet.
And okay. What words would you put in a search?
You would put you could put eminent domain. Stitt, he was the governor. He just signed it. So, or talk to Becky. Becky will help you get a copy of it.
Yeah, there you go.
throw you under the bus.
Throw me under the bus. Yeah.
Thanks, Ann.
Okay, any famous last words?
Well, just be careful with your property. Monitor your property. Know what you've got, what you're looking at. Don't let people stay in there, and be proactive in getting people out, because that's important not for everybody but for the neighborhood and for the state.
Okay. Hey, if you've got anybody wanting down payment assistance, that's what we're talking about next week. So appreciate you guys tuning in, and love the phone calls coming in. So,
thanks for being with us here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Have a great week.
Hopes turn to wishes, and may all of your wishes come true.